cantos, chapter 29, text 39, the chapters Krishna and the Gopis meet. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Vikshalaka
vritti mukham tava kundala shri.
Ganda stala dhara sudam
hasitava
lokam.
Dhata bhayam cha bhuja danda yugam vilokya.
Rakshakshri aika ramanam cha bhavama
dasya.
Vikshalaka vritti mukham tava kundala shri.
Ganda stala dhara sudam hasitava lokam.
Dhatha bhayam cha bhuja danda yugam vilokya.
Vakshakshi aika ramanam cha bhavamadasya. Please chant.
Viksha,
seen,
alaka,
by your hair,
avrita,
covered,
mukham,
face,
tava,
your,
kundala,
of your earrings,
shri,
with the beauty,
gandhastala,
having
the cheeks,
adhara,
of your lips,
sudham,
and the nectar,
hasita,
smiling,
avalokam,
with glances,
datta,
bestowing,
abhayam,
fearlessness,
cha,
and
bhuja danda,
of your mighty
arms,
yugam,
the pair,
vilokya,
glancing
upon,
vakshaha,
your chest,
Shri,
of the
goddess of fortune,
Eka,
the only,
Ramana,
source of pleasure,
Cha,
and
Bhavama,
we must become,
Dashaha,
your
maidservants.
Translation.
Seeing
your face encircled by
curling locks of
hair, your
cheeks beautified
by earrings, your lips full of nectar, and your smiling glance, and also seeing your two imposing arms, which take away our fear, and your chest, which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maidservants. Purport. Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur envisions the gopis' dealings with Krishna as follows. Krishna says, "You want to become my servants, so do I have to buy you with some payment, or are you giving yourselves freely?" The gopis reply, "Since the beginning of our youthful womanhood, you have been purchasing us with a payment millions and millions of times more than enough. That payment is your gem-like smiling glance, which constitutes a great treasure we have never heard about or seen anywhere else. When you put your golden turban on your head, your maidservant will act as your valet, pulling up the turban bit by bit until it is in just the right position. And even while you shake a chastising finger at her, trying hard to prohibit her, she will put her hand beneath your turban and take the opportunity to glance at your face. Thus we, your maidservants, will relish with our eyes your abundant sweetness." Krishna says, "Your husbands will not tolerate this behavior of ours. They will complain bitterly to King Kamsa, thus producing a fearful situation for me and for you as well." The gopis say, "But Krishna, your two mighty arms make us fearless, just as they did when you held up Govardhan Hill to protect us from the pride of Mahendra. Those arms will certainly kill that beast Kamsa. But being a religious person, I cannot make others wise my maidservants. Oh dear crest jewel of religious personalities, you may say that that you refuse to make the cowherd's wives your maidservants, but by force you have already taken Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan from Vaikuntha, and are carrying her around on your chest. Out of shame, she has assumed the form of a golden line on your chest, and she takes her only pleasure there. Besides, within all the 14 worlds, and even above these worlds in Vaikuntha Loka, beyond this universe, you never reject any beautiful woman, no matter who she is or whom she belongs to. We know this quite well." So we have a lot of people to thank for this wonderful description of Krishna. The author, Vyasadeva, and here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is elaborating on it. And of course the gopis, who are describing Krishna in such a wonderful way. This kind of vision that we hear, but we can see it. We actually can store it within our mind's eyes and reflect on it. And this is what really helps us to become Krishna conscious. And the farther that we can store it, the deeper into our hearts and soul, then we can reflect on it at so many different times. So this seeing Krishna is very special. But you remember also that Srimati Radharani, she appeared apparently blind, and and the parents were quite upset. And Yasoda and Nanda brought Krishna one time, very small, just still crawling, and he crawled, got away from everybody while they were talking, crawled up and put his hands on the place where Srimati Radharani was, and lo and behold, Radharani opened her eyes, because she only wanted to see Krishna. That's the only thing she wanted to see. She didn't care about anything else. So we should be that anxious to actually want to just see Krishna and to have this vision within our mind all the time. Dhruva Maharaj also, great devotee, although in a very small little body, he was very determined to have that vision of the Lord for, of course, a material reason, wanting to find some broken pieces of glass, try to get some material things, some opulences. But when he saw Krishna, he said, "Oh, now I have actually seen the greatest jewel, the greatest gem." And so this is an appreciation of the pure devotee, of this vision of Krishna. And here we have a beautiful vision today. And just like the gopis are saying that sometimes when we take these glances, we kind of feel guilty because we're kind of stealing such nectar. Lord Balaram's beautiful moon-like face and Shrimatarani's compassion coming out from her vision, her beautiful glance. And mischievous Krishna over there with Balaram has that, always that little little twerk to his mouth. I think he's up to something. And of course, Krishna, Shyamasundara is beautiful, and Gornitai are radiant. So we can also relish this this vision and actually meditate on it, because this is the point of Krishna consciousness, is to actually fall in love with Krishna and to meditate wholeheartedly on the Lord all the whole day. So we stand here sometimes. In one day, we might, even in the early morning hours, we might stand here for almost an hour and a half between Mangalartik and Guru Puja and sitting during class. We actually have that vision of the Lord. And these are what are called samskara, or impressions, in the Vedic culture. Very, very important things that will leave impressions on our consciousness. They're images. Actually, the material scientist describes that when you, as your brain absorbs things as they come in through the different receptacles, that they are sorted, and then they're encoded, and they're sent to different departments of storage. Actually, the ones that are visual are actually more quickly stored and more easily remembered, as described, than auditory. But of course, we know that Krishna and his name are the same, so they have that same potency. And then as other things come in, then they get shifted around within the brain. But those impressions that are mixed with emotion can actually, don't just have to go to the brain, they actually can go to the heart, and these are the ones that are so important to revive our Krishna consciousness. There's a very nice description of these impressions, how important they are and how deep they are. Actually, is King Parikshit right here. When he was in the womb, as an embryo, the Brahmastra had been thrown directly at that embryo to kill the next heir of the kingdom. And Lord Krishna actually entered that womb and appeared before him, encircled it to protect it. And Parikshit that embryo never forgot that person who came and saved him. And so therefore his name was Parikshit, or examiner. And for his whole life, always thinking of that wonderful personality, as it's described here with that big chest and those strong arms that can protect anyone. And so now we see him here, hearing, and the most important thing, the hearing of the Supreme Lord's beautiful form and activities, and especially this very nectaring rasa dance pastime. So these impressions are very meaningful. Even materially speaking, like if I was to ask my mother what's something you really remember, she'll say that I remembered when the World War II was over, or when we heard, I remember exactly what I was doing when I heard that the atom bomb had been dropped. And same with us. I bet you everyone in this room can remember when they heard what happened with the Twin Towers. I remember I was sitting right out here having some kind of interview or something. And then we have our spiritual ones, our spiritual divine impressions when we got initiated, right? Or like when I remember when I heard that Srila Prabhupada had left the planet. I never exactly remember that. That's an impression very deep within my heart. So these things have great effect. In this scene of Krishna, we should somehow or other store it very, very deeply so that it can come as we want it. The memory can come. Krishna helps us to remember his beautiful face. But if we don't have that vision, if we don't know of it, then how unfortunate we are. So we should take advantage while we're standing in front of the deities to memorize a few things so that we have it and can carry it with us throughout the day. There's so many impressions that we have in Krishna consciousness. I know that when we had our girls' ashram, They could tell us every single fancy preparation they had at every single person's home that we ate with in India. You know, so they could remember every preparation, you know. We can probably remember every feast that we had here, what we liked the best out of it, right? So many wonderful impressions are there, pastimes of Harinam, and when we had our first kirtan, you know, experience of transcending all this material craziness. So Srila Prabhupada has actually made this society such that it's woven with Krishna throughout the whole thing. Therefore, we can become Krishna conscious. But he did introduce and was very much involved in the deity worship, seeing that it was that it is very important. Also in the paintings of Lord Krishna, making sure that, you know, everything was right. Pushkar could tell us many stories how he was told different things to do or not to do in the paintings, so that they would be authorized, they would be bona fide, and they would be very potent. Because the whole point is that it's supposed to have effect within us, have us become attracted, totally attracted to Krishna, as the gopis are here. They are, of course, pleading to Krishna to please, you know, please accept us. But they're totally attracted, as described, that, you know, what do you mean? You know, you've stolen our hearts. You've robbed us of everything. You've completely made us. What can we do except be your servants? So this is the mood that we can try to imbibe. That yes, Krishna is the most attractive, and this is what I really should be becoming attracted to, in whatever way I personally and with the help of others can become. Because many times we become tested, and do we remember Krishna? Does that face of Krishna come up? Our god sister Sunita, on the first time she had a heart attack, she said, "I didn't pass the test. All I could think of was who was going to take care of my garden." And then the second time, when I visited, she said, "Oh, I did better. I thought of Radha Shyam and Krishna Balaram Mandir." And then, of course, the last time she was chanting the glories of Srila Prabhupada when she left. So these tests come. Even in a few verses coming up, the gopis have a test, right? Krishna leaves them. And what do? They remember Krishna. They act out as pastimes, and all they can do is remember Krishna. So this is what we're hoping will happen, that memory will come very strongly, so we can remember Krishna at the time of death. So we have to work harder, and we have to gather all these beautiful prayers. All glories to the people that can memorize all the Sanskrit. I can't memorize one verse even, but at least I can try to remember the English, the curling locks of hair. And I know there's one very nice description, as it's describing the turban here, that sometimes the peacock feathers just slightly tilted to one side. So these nice little details help to form that love and memory of Krishna. But what I notice here is that these pastimes of Krishna in this particular Rasa Leela, and especially in the purport here, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, describing the characteristics of Krishna also. And he's quite heavy with the gopis. He's really causing them a lot of agitation. And he also appreciates their witty comments. And of course, Krishna has a very sharp tongue too. And there gets to be some competition many times between them. But it's not like in the relationships we have in the material world. The gopis might be angry here, but in a few minutes it's all forgiven. So many times they have big arguments that go on and on and on, and then poof, it's gone, and they just remember Krishna. But in the material world, we might have some disagreement with somebody, and it might last for months, years, right? That impression is so deeply sunk in there that we will never forgive them, right? We have to have all these classes on forgiveness just to learn how to forgive. But it's a different relationship, you know. Krishna's is so light and sweet. It's kind of like whipping cream on the top of something. Very light and very sweet. So we can relish these, because the gopis are relishing them. They're getting more and more pleasure from this being chastised and from being put in anxiety. And there's a very nice story of a great saint in our line, a very important person in our line, who also was very agitated at one time because he got to see Krishna, and then Krishna went away. So this is the pastime of Narada Muni. Narada Muni was born in a maidservant's family and was serving the great saints and sages while he was young. And he actually learned so much from them about devotion and about meditation. And then his mother was bitten by a snake and Krishna took her away. And he sent off to the forest by himself at a very young age. But because he'd been trained by these great saints and sages how to meditate, he sat down in the forest and meditated very intensely. So intensely that at one point his whole body began to tremble and shake and he began perspiring. And it's described that every one of his senses became illuminated. And within his heart he actually saw himself and he saw Krishna. And with this vision, he was completely satisfied, getting to see the form of the Lord. But then all of a sudden, what happened? Krishna was gone. The vision was gone. And he went and he tried to mechanically do the meditation again, sit down and try to do exactly the same thing. Maybe some of you experience that. You know, you chant one real nice round, you try to figure out, oh, how did I chant that round, and try to do it again, and it just doesn't work exactly the same way, you know. But it's only by the mercy of Krishna that we can have these revelations, that Narada Muni had this revelation. But because Narada Muni pleased Krishna so much, although he went away out of his vision, he gave him transcendental ears, so he could hear him speak to him. And Krishna said, "This is now that you've seen me, it'll be the last time in this lifetime that you will see me." But he did this simply to increase the desire that Narada Muni would have to see Krishna again. And the same here in this pastime. Krishna leaves them. Why? Why does he do all this? Why does he have this pastime? Simply to increase the desire. It's not that they were, you know, slighted not complete in their devotional service or attitude or having some material tinge, but Krishna just wanted them to become more and more eager to see him and to be with him. So this is what Krishna can do if we are very intense in our devotional service, that we can please him with his intenseness. Srila Prabhupada says, describing Narada Muni, that that when he went to the forest, there's other people also, materialists, that go to the forest to try to sit down and meditate on God. But usually they're not looking for Krishna in that way. And therefore, although they might be in the mode of goodness and they'll get some transcendental realization, but Narada Muni, he actually got to see the personality of Godhead. So it's best that people come here to this temple, because here is the form of the Lord. And it's a totally transcendental place. Although the forest is a mode of goodness, here, Srila Prabhupada made all these temples so that we can actually get rid of all of our impersonalism and actually view, have darshan of the Lord. And the Lord can also see us, can see us coming here. And so you might want to reflect today, this morning, how intense was your chanting? How intense was your service attitude today? How intense was your meditation when the curtains opened? How much more intense it really could be every single day? I know that every day I try to increase, but you forget. And you think, oh yes, I'm doing my best, but we can do so much more. And then when we actually get to that topmost level of intensity with our in our devotion, then Krishna will reveal himself to us. There's really no other way. So we have to learn how to please Krishna And we can know how to do that by following the instructions of our spiritual master. Should be our real intense desires, somehow or other, follow all the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And then someday we'll be on that transcendental platform and be able to see Krishna face to face. I know Prabhupada said that there's no reason why when you're dressing the deities that the deity isn't talking to you. You know? So, of course, this requires a lot of meditation and a lot of concentration, which we have an opportunity to do every day. We can concentrate every day a little bit more. And there's a very nice personality. I thought I'd discuss just briefly disappearance day today, Lochan Das Thakur, who had that intense desire of achieving the mercy of his Lord Nityananda. There's another nice song. I won't sing it, but it's a beautifully sung song. It's from the Chaitanya Mangala of Lochan Das Thakur, and it's called Nitai Gunamani. Nityananda, my treasure. My Lord Nityananda, the jewel of all good qualities, my Lord Nityananda, the jewel of all good qualities, has brought the flood of ecstatic love of God that drowned the entire world. Bringing this overwhelming deluge of prema when he returned to Bengal from Jagannath Puri on Lord Chaitanya's order, Nitai has inundated the assembly of devotees. The fallen non-devotees did not drown, however, but remained floating on that ecstatic ocean. Lord Nityananda freely offered this exalted prema, which is difficult for Lord Brahma to attain, even to the fallen and wretched souls who were not desirous of receiving it. The ocean of mercy had formerly been sealed tight, but Nitai cut a channel in its boundary to allow the great flooding waves of nectarine prema to splash from house to house. Lochan Das says, "Whoever has not worshipped my Nitai or taken advantage of this excellent opportunity offered by him knowingly commits suicide." Very, very nice realization that Lochan Das Thakur had. Actually, he heard of Lord Chaitanya at a very young age. He was born in a physician's family and heard of the glories of the movement of Lord Chaitanya, which was beginning to spread all over the Bengal, all over India. And he actually was not so interested in material things, more interested in hearing of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. But when he became a little bit older, his parents, as is the custom in India, is that they would have the child become married. And so, although he didn't want it, he was arranged a marriage with a young girl in another village. And they didn't live together because they were very, very young, probably 7 or 8 or 9, something like that. And he visited there one time. And he went back and was raised by his family. And then the parents of the girl, when she became of an age to actually live with a husband, they saw that she needed a husband, then they became very concerned. And so they let it be known to the other family that I think this is the time that they can come together. And so word was given by Lochan Das Thakur's parents that it was now time that he should go to the village and find this girl. Anyway, he said, "No, really, I'm not into this. I'm more interested in spiritual things. I'm really not, set in my mind to become married at this time." He was in a very renounced mood. He was told that, yes, he should do this. He had a guru at this time, and he said, "Well, you should go take care of this responsibility." So he went to the village, but when he got to the village, it had been so long, he didn't remember where the young lady lived. And so he just saw a young lady on the streets and asked, "Mataji, can you tell me where so-and-so's family lives?" And she told him where to go. And it ended up when he got there that the girl that he had approached was the girl that he was supposed to marry. And he had called her Mata. And so he said, how can I marry you? You know, I called you mother. You know, you're considered like my mother. And so the parents were like, oh, no, what are we going to do, you know? And so he said, actually, I'm really not into becoming married. And so he was actually relieved of that duty. And so he went and dove into the movement of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, preaching intensively, and started to accumulate different pastimes of Lord Chaitanya from Murari Gupta's notebooks. And he began to write what was known as the Chaitanya Mangala. Mangala means auspicious. So with so many different pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And there was one pastime which actually described the discussion that Lord Chaitanya and Vishnupriya had before taking sannyas. Unfortunately, I don't have that book, so I can't tell you anything more than that. But at the same time, Vrindavan Das Thakur had his Chaitanya Mangala, but Lord Chaitanya Das Thakur got permission to change his book to a different name, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So this is a wonderful devotee who imbibed the instructions of his spiritual master and the mood of his lords, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. The first song we read, Paramakarana, describes, Prabhupada described in the long purport about how that these two lords went all over India getting all the animals and human beings, everyone, to dance and to have their stone hearts melted. And so this is the mood that Lord Chaitanya Das Thakur developed. And it's also the mood of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So if you can, you can still maybe make it to the Harinam. I don't know. I think everyone's already left by now. So it's a long drive. But we should really understand Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, he gave us these transcendental temples, these transcendental visions, both visually and audibly, taking these wonderful descriptions in to our hearts and changing our hearts from being very stone-hearted to actually beginning to become attracted to the most beautiful and attractive one, Lord Krishna. So these are a few comments on this verse and purport. Maybe someone else would like to contribute something? Or explain how one might become a little bit more intense in their devotional service so that someday we can have that vision. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, why always you have to see God? Why can't you just be happy just hearing about God? Why you always have to see? They always say, demanding, yes, show me God. Why not? Just like hearing this description, it's just so pleasant to hear. And of course, seeing the deity is so satisfying too. Srila Prabhupada also commented that why those in search of Krishna, of God, why aren't they just satisfied with this Krishna? Why do they have to figure out some other form of God? Why? It's so nice. You can't find anything better than this form of Krishna, as describing here with curling locks and smiling glance, big chest, strong arms. Once we were in Montreal, and with our ashram, I'd never been to Montreal temple before, and the deity there, Manohar, I believe is the name, right? You were temple president there for a while. He's tall, dark, and handsome. And I was telling these girls, don't bother with these. You know, they're always thinking about their husbands. Don't bother these other husbands. Look at the most tall, dark, and handsome person. Just fall in love with Manohar. We should just be satisfied in this way. And make Krishna our cynosure. Anybody else? Yes, Maharaj.
You're just saying about everyone's so concerned about seeing God, but we're not hearing about him. Not only hearing about him, but actually might have pretense of saying, no, you go back home, nice to meet you, what can I do for you, or something like that. And we go, well, you know, no, that's not what it's all about. And now there are very pointed arguments, of course, by the love, that Krishna's in the process of being conquered.
Yes. He ultimately says that the only way I can repay you is that you're just going to have to take me, you know, because you have to be satisfied with, you know, I can't give you anything else, except he gives him the greatest thing, he gives him himself. So he actually does, he's conquered by their intense desire to have him. Very nice pastime. Yeah, so we should be satisfied hearing Krishna, his instructions, and his many characteristics and activities. How many times we've heard these pastimes and heard Bhagavatam every day, you know, it's more relishable, you know, as we can learn the art of hearing more intensely. Yeah.
You don't even have to change your position, he says. You can stay in your position, stita, stita, stito. Shruti gatam, go on hearing, shruti gatam, and worship with your tanu van manobir, with your mind, body, and words. And then jita jito, yiprayasho jita jito. Then you can conquer the unconquerable. Krishna, who can't be conquered within the three worlds, but you can conquer. So to get, it almost sounds like it's doable. Of course, in our conditioned state, we should join the Krishna Conscious Movement because we want to conquer God, like in a demoniac way. Like God is dead, we've conquered him, or like the demons. But we want to conquer him in the sense that he will withdraw, retire his godhood, so that he can surrender himself to our loving mood. Because now I'm speaking way beyond my realization, so I better stop.
Yeah, it's a little beyond our realization. But Srila Prabhupada said that in the very beginning we should, you know, do some archana worships and worship of the deity, and this is the beginning of our devotional service. But gradually our senses will become more purified. And even the service that we do, the menial service that we do around the temple, or raising our families. This is also Krishna personally. We can have that relationship with Krishna, serving him in that way. And if we do everything, you know, but in that consciousness, then maybe we will have these realizations quicker than we know. And hopefully we can share those with everybody else. So everyone will become inspired to also please Krishna. Please, our spiritual master. Jai Shri Baba Ki Jai.